We hope that you are excited to be here and to worship the Lord together with us. But we are we're happy that you're here. We've got a couple of announcements. We're entering the busy time of year for our church. Anyways, all right, here we go. Sorry about that. Couple of meetings, couple of announcements. First is a special congregation meeting today during the Bible Hour to discuss the phase one of our building project. I hope that if you are a member, you'll stay for that. June 5th, we have the Summer Bible Club starting. That's our Wednesday night children's Bible time in the for the Wednesday night service. Please make sure you see the ages there are kids 4 to 12. The June 9th, we have a missions committee meeting. On June 15th, we have a men and boys breakfast from 8 to 10 a.m. On June 16th, we will have, on that Sunday, the baby bottle blessing return. I don't see if there's any more back there, but this is for the Haven pregnancy. It's a basket back there that there's still some empty. If you want to grab those, fill those with change for Haven C Pregnancy Center. On June 18th, we have the ladies' night out at the Parsonage, 7 p.m. Also on June 25th, so a couple of Tuesday nights in a row, please see the sign up in the back there. On June 29th, Franklin is having their market day, and we'll be doing a table in the front for the RU ministry. If you are interested in helping on that day, please take some notes of that and see Pastor about that. And then on June 30th, we have our fifth Sunday. It's a Sunday school and morning worship only, and will be followed by a potluck luncheon. Please make sure you see that. This evening, the teens will be going over to Heritage Baptist Church in Laconia. Evangelist Morris Gleiser will be there tonight, tomorrow, and Tuesday. If you are interested in going as well, it's not just for teens. So if you're interested in hearing some excellent preaching, you might avail yourself of that tomorrow night or Tuesday night is over there. And then next Monday night at 7 p.m., we will begin again the young adults get-together. So we'll be having our first summer event there at our house. Now, we define young adults by anyone who has kids in their house, okay? Because I kept setting, you know, ages, and then everyone over that age would start getting mad at me for setting an age, you know, that this is young and this is older, okay? So we define it now as anyone who has kids in their house are welcome, okay? So next Monday night, 7 o'clock, we will be having a Bible study, fellowship time, play games, and sing a little bit, and it should be a good time. Anyone there is welcome. We look forward to it. A couple of birthdays. John Diamond on the 5th has a birthday. Joanne Watson has a birthday on June 5th. Stacy Brobst has a birthday on June 6th. Bill Joseph has a birthday on June 7th. And Leslie Gore has a birthday on June 8th. Lots of birthdays. And I have an announcement about a soon-to-be birth. Alex and Sarah are expecting their second baby boy in October, and we're excited for them. Cooper is the going name, draft name, okay? It's up for debate, okay? But Cooper right now is the name. So we're excited about that. A couple of anniversaries. Stephen and Kelly Palizzi on the 5th. Wish you a happy anniversary. And last week I forgot my very dear friends John and Ann Johnson. And I told them this week, I said, to make up for my mistake, I was going to have them come up on stage. We were going to hug, right? Tell stories about how they met, right? Just to make sure that they knew. But I apologize for missing that last week. But wish you, John and Anne, a very happy anniversary as well. Would you stand with me? We're going to read some of God's word. And out of respect, we'd like to stand. Ephesians 6, or Galatians 6 in verse 14, it says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for bringing us here this morning. Lord, we thank you for the safety that you gave to us and the health that you have, Lord, awarded us with this morning. We are excited to be in your house. We're excited to be with your people. Lord, we're excited to hear from your word. And I pray, Father, that you would empower Pastor as he opens your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit would have free reign here this morning. Lord, I pray that you would open our minds and give us understanding. And Lord, help us to to believe, Lord, what we're hearing. Help us to act on it. Lord, we thank you so much for this church and for this opportunity. In your son's name we pray. Amen. One last announcement before I step down. On June 8th, this coming Saturday, from 4 to 7 p.m., there'll be an open house at the Davises. Mackenzie will be having her graduation party. So it's from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Davises. Please see Phil or Angie for more details there.
Let's sing number 230 together. Glory to his name. Seated. 262. There is power in the blood.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Sorry about that. Thank you, children. That was very good, inspiring. If only half of the old folks in this room could memorize like that, we'd be way ahead. That's great. Good job. All right, if the men would come now for the offering, we'll thank the Lord with our offerings. Rob, would you ask the Lord's blessing?
Heavenly Father, it is so good to be in your house this morning. Our prayers answered to all we have. Pray that you bless this offering for the good of the church. In Jesus' name, amen.
stand together and sing number 251. 251, Near the Cross, then the choir has a song for us.
Jesus, keeping me to thy grace.
Thank you, choir, for that. Thank you, young people, for your special music as well. We want to welcome you today to Hill Village Bible Church. And if you're a first-time visitor, welcome. If you're a returning visitor, it's good to have you back. We're glad that you are here today. And last week, I neglected to introduce Peter, so I'm going to embarrass him. Stand up, please, Peter. This is Peter Green. He is our summer intern. He will be here with us for 10 or 11 weeks or so, and he'll be taking part in all the ministries of the church in particular, working with Pastor Nate with the youth. So he'll be going to camp. He'll be going to Canada on a mission trip as well. So we're so glad he's here. And he has already told Pastor Nate and I that last week was the greatest week of his life, and it was only the first week. So I promptly said, you mustn't have too exciting of a life then. But glad he's here. And if you have an opportunity, invite him over to your house for a meal or something and get to know him. He is a great young man. So we are continuing in our study of 1 Thessalonians. So I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm going to pray. We have a couple prayer requests to remember. Both Denninghams are sick this morning. Linda is very sick, and Chuck has an AFib monitor on again. So let's pray for them. Let's remember to pray for Sandy Alexander. Let's remember to pray for Chris Center's mom. And let's remember to pray for Brenda. And also, Wendy has given me a request for Bubba tomorrow. Is it tomorrow? Where's Wendy? She's downstairs. But anyway, he's having oral surgery, and he's going to be sedated, and so pray for minimal work needed to be done, and also an opportunity she will have to witness to the birth mom who will be there also. So let's pray before our message. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to be here today in your house with your people. We thank you so far, Lord, for the songs that reminded us of Calvary, as at the end of the service, Lord, we'll be partaking in the Lord's table. So help us, Father, to have the scenes of the cross be brought before our eyes. We also pray, Lord, your blessing upon your word as it goes forth as truth. And Lord, we come before you also with these requests today. We think of little Bubba tomorrow, Tuesday, as he has this oral surgery. Lord, this is difficult for anybody, but especially difficult for such a young one. Please help him. Let there, as Wendy has requested, let there be as little work done as possible. And please give her the opportunity to witness to the birth mom as well, if she will be there.
We pray for the Denninghams. We miss Chuck and Linda. We pray for them at this time in their sickness. We miss Sandy as well, as she's in Massachusetts in a rehab facility. Help her, Lord, to get strong and get the therapy she needs so that she can get home soon. We just thank you for the family and thank you for Sandy and pray you'd bless her. We think of Chris Center with his back injury as well as Chris's mom with his serious cancer. Lord, we just commit her to your care and just pray that you, the God of all comfort, would be with the family. And we think of Brenda as well and her needs, as well as we think of Jamie's aunt and uncle and Jamie's ministry to them. Just give strength. But Lord, as we turn our attention now to your word, please help us, Father, to understand it, and Lord, apply it to our lives, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we are again in the midst of a study of the book of 1 Thessalonians, and the title of the series is, Are You Rapture Ready? We're going to be looking today at chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, and I have a couple of questions to ask before we get into the text. First question I want you to answer quietly, not out loud, please. The first question is your faith superficial or deep-rooted? And by superficial, I mean surface. Is your faith, would you describe your faith as superficial or deep-rooted? Have you been reformed or transformed? Reformed has to do with outward change. So have you been reformed or transformed, a change that takes place from within? Are you religious or are you born again? Are you bold or bashful for the Lord? And this question I want you to think of, this last question, what does it take for you to give up? What does it take for you to give up? You know, at times it's difficult. Life's difficult. At times being a Christian is difficult. At times sharing your faith with other people is difficult. So what does it take for you to give up? And these are questions I want you to be thinking of as we go through this message. We will see today that we will see the difficulties that came to Paul and the Thessalonians when the church was planted. And chapter 2, where we are, we won't be looking at verses 1 through 12 today, but chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 imply that there had been slanderous accusations against Paul and also against his motives. Yet in spite of these great difficulties, the church was flourishing. Okay? The church was flourishing. I remember meeting Chinese pastors who were in the underground, part of the underground, and I met them at a conference here in America. They were, some of them had to be smuggled out of the country to come here. And I remember meeting this one particular man and him telling us in this conference, do not pray for the persecution to stop in China. He says, because the church is flourishing with the persecution. He says, pray that we can stand up to it. Pray that we can stand up to it. Because in spite of all the government's effort to quench the growth of the church in China is growing. So what does it take for you to give up? As we continue with, again, the overriding thought of our series, Are You Rapture Ready? Today, I would like for us to consider, and this is taken right from the text, our sacred trust. God has entrusted us with the gospel. And why has He entrusted us with the gospel? And the Lord has entrusted us with the gospel not to keep it to ourselves, but to spread it to others. It's not meant to be kept. It's meant to be given. Now, communities, friends, all across America desperately need churches and individuals that bear a real testimony of the life-changing power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What I do not want to downplay the verbal witness. The verbal witness is vital. But going along with the verbal witness is the testimony of a life that has been radically changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is so important for us today. They need to see lives that have been radically transformed. And what are you doing with this sacred trust? So let's look at our text, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Two points today. A bold witness is needed, verses 1 and 2, and a sincere witness is needed, verses 3 and 4. But let's first look at a bold witness is needed, and look at verse 1 with me. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. Okay? Now there are two essential elements for success in preaching according to these verses. Okay? Boldness and courage. We need these two essential elements for success in our preaching. We need boldness and we need courage. These days in which we live, and the country in which we live, our blessed America, is becoming more and more anti-God. And for those who would stand for truth and the truth of the Word of God, we need to stand boldly and we need to be courageous. Now notice the testimony, again, verse 1. For yourselves, brethren, know our testimony in unto you that it was not in vain. So here's Paul's testimony. And Paul is saying that his ministry was not vain. His ministry there with the believers in Thessalonica was not vain. And that word vain here carries the idea of empty or fruitless. Okay? When Paul ministered there in Thessalonica, his ministry was not fruitless. Why? Because a changed life is the greatest testimony to the success of a gospel ministry. And what were the Thessalonians? We already learned this. They were idol worshippers. And now, what were they doing? They were worshiping the true and living God. We saw that in chapter 1. And just the proof, just the fact that their lives were so radically changed and transformed proved that Paul had a fruitful ministry there. And friends, it's not the quality attached to the preaching that is important, but it's the effect. It's the effect. It's not the quality attached to the preaching that is important. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't do all we can to present the best message that we can. But even if I spoke to you with flowery English, and you know that's not going to happen with me, and my grammar, I destroy the King's English all the time and break a lot of grammatical rules. But it's not the quality attached to the preaching that is important. But it's the effect. And it's the application of that. How has that preaching, how has that ministry changed your life? And Paul knew that his ministry to the church in Thessalonica was fruitful because of the change that took place. And this change took place in the midst of turmoil. Look at verse 2. But even after that we suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Now, we looked at the account already of the start of the church in Thessalonica at the very beginning of our series, where we actually looked at Acts 17 before we started preaching from the book of 1 Thessalonians. But even prior to that, in Acts chapter 16, and you don't have to turn there, but we all know the account of Paul and Silas in Philippi. Remember, Paul wanted to go elsewhere, but he received from the angel the Macedonian call. And God changed the direction, and for the first time in history, the gospel, a person bringing the gospel, stepped foot in Europe. And the gospel was brought, and the first town that it was brought to was Philippi. Now, interesting. You just receive a vision from God for the Macedonian call, and you follow God's leading, and you go there, and you would think, well, God wants me here. Everything is going to be smooth. There's not going to be any problems, but that's not the case. Paul is preaching, and this young lady follows him. And she's crying over and over again, these are the servants of the Most High God, listen to them. And over again she's saying this, and it's probably very interrupting Paul's messages. Finally, Paul has enough, casts the demon out, and God doesn't need a witness from unbelievers, okay, first off. But the people who owned her, she was a slave, the people who owned her were upset because she brought much financial gain to them. So what happens to Paul and Silas? They're taken, they are beaten, and they are jailed. Wow. But God wanted me here. They're taken, they're beaten, and they're jailed. What does it take for you to give up? And while they're in jail, they have a prayer meeting, a praise session. And there's the earthquake, we all know it. The Philippian jailer gets saved, and his whole household gets saved. They take Paul and Silas out to their home, and they care for their wounds. Interesting. Again, proof of a changed life. And Paul and Silas go back to jail. I always find that interesting. And the next morning, the magistrates come. They find out that they had beaten Roman citizens without a trial. Uh-oh. And they shoo them out of town real fast. Get out of here. So then they come to Thessalonica. And for 3 weeks, 3 Sabbath days, Paul reasons in the temple. And his reasoning and his preaching has two effects. People get saved, lives get changed, and people get angry. And those angry people, another stir, another riot, another uproar. This time they take Jason and they bring him out, and Paul and Silas leave town and go to Berea. So this turmoil, Paul says they were shamefully entreated. That shamefully entreated carries the idea of violence and abuse was committed to them. And there was much contention, we're told in verse 2. That means anxiety and conflict. They were at times fearful in their life, for their lives. Friends, since the world, the flesh, and the devil hates the Lord and hates His message, the gospel, we need boldness and we need courage as we take the gospel to the lost, unsaved world. Are you bold or bashful? And what are you doing with this sacred trust? And what does it take for you to give up? But besides needing boldness in our witness, besides seeing that boldness is needed, also, verses 3 and 4, a sincere witness is needed. And according to these verses, an essential element for success in preaching is sincerity. And sincerity here carries the idea of honesty and being free from hypocrisy. Okay? Paul's preaching was the real deal. Okay? It was sincere. It was honest. It was not filled with hypocrisy. Shandy was just reading to me this morning of a televangelist who's under fire right now because of his 3 private jets, and saying he needs to be separated from the public because the publics are demons. And so, you know, there is a hypocrite. Okay? His name escapes me right now. Copeland. Stuart Copeland. Ken Copeland. And 3 private jets. And the people that are giving the money, he's calling them demons. And he needs to stay away from them. It's not the real deal. He's not sincere. He's not honest. And he's not the only one. There's many like that. But Paul here, verse 3, "For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor uncleanness, nor in guile." Now again, Paul is being accused here, so he's writing in his defense. And Paul's exhortation, that word exhortation, has to do with a persuasive discourse. Okay? When you and I are sharing the gospel, we are sharing the gospel with someone, trying to persuade them. That is the whole idea of sharing the gospel. Getting someone to change, chapter 1, from worshiping idols to worshiping the true and living God. That's why we do missions. That's why we share the gospel. So Paul's exhortation, notice first his message. It was not of deceit. Okay? It was not filled with errors, and it did not stray from the truth. There was no straying in his message. Paul preached the truth. That's what people need to hear today, correct? The truth. Not the politically correct message. They need to hear the truth. Why? Because the truth will set you. Who is the truth? That's what people need. The truth. Sometimes the truth hurts. You ever hear that phrase? And sometimes the truth hurts. But people need to hear the truth. Because what is not a truth is a lie. So his message was not of deceit. His motive, okay, nor of uncleanness. Okay, this word carries the idea of sensual impurity. Okay, his message was pure. His motives were pure. And his method, nor in guile. A decoy, trickery, bait, improper means. He wasn't tricking people. Okay? He was speaking the truth. Not trying to trick people. Not trying to bait people. Not using improper means. This was his exhortation. But notice with me verse 4. Notice Paul's approval. "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." But as we were allowed of God. That word "allowed" in the original language carries the idea of approved. It literally means God's stamp of approval was on Paul's message. Here is the message. We were allowed of God. Think about that. When the Lord Jesus left earth, ascended back into heaven, he left us with the Great Commission. God's stamp of approval is on the gospel message for us to take to the world and share with the world and make disciples of men. Make followers of Jesus Christ. That's our sacred trust. That has been entrusted to us. And notice Paul goes on to say, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel." To be put in trust with the gospel. The idea here of the word trust has to do with to have faith or to credit. It means to entrust somebody. Turn 2 books to the right. 1 Thessalonians Second Thessalonians, then First Timothy. Only a couple pages in your Bible. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible says, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul realized that what was given to him was a sacred trust. And we need to realize, in our efforts to reach the lost, we need to be bold. We need to be brave. We need to be sincere with this trust that God has given us. So Paul says back in verse 4 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. So notice this, friends. Paul viewed the gospel as a sacred deposit left him by God on man's behalf. Why did God give the gospel to us? To keep it? To speak it. To spread it. To take it to other people. To share it with other people. In our discourse, yes, we're trying to persuade them, but you and I cannot make anyone believe. Okay? That's the Holy Spirit's ministry. But we need to live a life that backs up our message. So not only are we witnessing verbally, but we're witnessing with our life. And we need to share that gospel. God gave us the gospel to share it, to give to others. He goes on to say, not as pleasing men. If the message pleased men, would they have treated Paul so harshly? Think about that. If your message doesn't make people upset, now I'm not saying we go out and purposely try to, stir up trouble, because the gospel itself is an offensive message. The Bible even tells us that, okay? So we don't add to that offense. Let the gospel message work in the people's heart to show them their need. We don't need to, you're just a wicked, terrible sinner. I can't believe you're doing that, you know. And there are people out there who add offense to the gospel. Okay? Doesn't help the cause. But at the same time, we don't want to be men pleasers. Well, if I don't say this, they won't be happy. Okay? And we know the tele-evangelists who don't say anything negative. Okay? Joel Osteen. He won't say a negative thing about anything, because I've heard him say on interviews, well, being negative is just not my ministry. There's a lot of negative things in the Bible. There's a lot of thou shalt nots and don't do this, and if you do this, I'll do this. And we need to be careful. We don't want to be men pleasers, okay? Because I don't have to answer to man. I have to answer to God. If Paul was a man pleaser, wouldn't he have changed the message so men would stop hounding and harming him? You know, if I came to Philippi, and man, the people really got mad at me, I got beat with rods and with whips. I wound up in jail. That was painful. You know, there's got to be a better way. I know. I'll start pleasing men. That's not what Paul did. I'll come in and I'll just preach a smooth message. You know, and I'll tell people what a wonderful, wonderful life you can have. And how God just wants you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Troubles? No, he didn't do that. But God, which trieth our hearts. Since the gospel is a sacred trust left with us by God, he will judge us on what we did with it. He will judge us on what we did with the gospel. Did we hoard it? Did we share it? Did we share it faithfully? Did we share it boldly? Did we share it sincerely? Since we'll be judged by God concerning that sacred trust He's left with us, we must be sincere with our witness. We must preach and teach a message that is faithful and true to the Word of God. Of course, we want to see people saved, but we can't preach the gospel just so that we can have another notch in our Bible. You know, oh, I led that person to the Lord. I fudged on the gospel a little bit, but I led that person to... That's not what it's about. Paul's ministry among the Thessalonian believers was so fruitful that not only were people saved and a vibrant church planted, but the church continued to flourish after Paul left. In closing, look at Luke 19 with me. As we think of this sacred trust, as we think of what does it take for you to give up. Luke 19, starting in verse 12, we have this. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Okay? So this nobleman is the Lord Jesus. He goes into the country, okay, a far country, so he already came. All right? He left heaven, he came to earth, and what's happening? He's went back to heaven, and what are we waiting for? His return. Okay? So these people are waiting for his return. In the meantime, before he left, he does something. Notice, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Okay? Most of the people of the earth will not have God reign over them. But what about those people he left with these gifts? Came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he would know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. He said likewise to him, thou be also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here's thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. He said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. So here are men who are given pounds, gifts, talents, other gospels call them, and they were to occupy till he came, and that word occupy carries the idea in the original language of work, working till they came, and some gained 10 pounds, some gained 5, but one person with what the Lord entrusted him with, what did he do with it? He hoarded it. He hid it. And the Lord was angry with that person. In light of Christ's soon return, what are you doing with the sacred trust that God has left you? Now, I don't know when the Lord is coming back. Only the Father knows that day. But I do know this, that if Paul told us the Lord could come back at any moment, and that was 2,000 years ago, how much closer are we today? The Lord's coming back. And what are you doing with the sacred trust He has left you? Do you hoard it for yourselves, what God has meant for others? What does it take for you to give up? Well, you know, Pastor, it's tough out there. And I just don't like what people say. Well, you haven't been whipped and put in prison yet. Thank God for that. We have no excuse in our country to not spread the gospel. What have you done with that sacred trust? Father, help us today to realize the truth. The truth of the gospel, Lord. Help us in our own lives to know it. Maybe there's one here today who doesn't know you as Savior. I pray, Father God, that they would trust you, that they would realize, Lord, their sin, and they would call out on you to save them, realizing you died and rose again for them. But Lord, for the rest of us who know you, what are we doing with what has been entrusted to us? Are we keeping the gospel to ourselves, or are we spreading it? Help us, Lord, I pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, and you don't know him as your Savior, but you'd like to know him, would you raise your hand? Anyone at all? I need to know Jesus. My Christian friends, for those of you who know the Lord Jesus, go out and spread the gospel and tell others that he's coming soon. Father, bless us as we prepare now for the Lord's table. In Jesus' name.